Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys, episode 3000. I don't know, but hey, look, I'm going to tell you like this. It's basically episode 271 because Robert Whittaker should be the UFC undisputed middleweight world champion right now. Any objections to that, bro?
I don't have any objections to it. I think it came down to how you scored the third round. The third round to me was the swing round.
And that's a fact because and this is the crazy thing, right? It's always so good, you know, you want an example of true loyalty, right? Like me and you have true loyalty, you know what I'm saying? You to your family, true loyalty. These Adesanya fans saying that he won four, some saying five rounds, true loyalty. You know what I'm saying? That's true loyalty. Oh, my goodness. Because the funny part about that is that the man himself even said that he felt like he lost rounds four and five. So that's just crazy to me that basically the fans go so hard, you know, for who they were rooting for that they want to say he didn't lose a single round. But the actual fighter who was in there, probably the two best or probably, yeah, one of the best guys, the two guys that are actually in there, two of the people that are going to probably have the most accurate, you know, account of what happened. You know, it's not like you're in a street fight and, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of adrenaline in there. And, yeah, you might forget some aspects of it. But, I mean, I would think the two guys that were actually in the fight are going to have the best account of what happened, and especially the guy who won, and you're saying that he didn't lose any rounds, but he's actually saying he felt he lost two rounds. I mean, I think you need to, you know, rethink or rewatch the fight because that's kind of odd to me. You know what I'm saying? I have Whittaker winning 3, 4, and 5. That's how I'm rolling with it. You know, people told me I was crazy already for that. But then, you know, Adesanya comes out and says he felt Rob won 4 and 5, so I guess I wasn't all that crazy. If, you know, I rewatched the fight already, so I've watched it, you know, live, and then I watched it one more time the other night. I also watched the Vettori fight, you know, the Vettori rematch. And so don't try to tell me that this fight was similar to that fight. It's not that I've seen people saying that, but that was a fight that Vettori was losing, you know, mostly all the striking exchanges, if not all the striking exchanges, had pretty much no success with his wrestling. He really didn't have any success in the fight, in my opinion. Vettori didn't.
He got dominated.
And that was a fight. Yeah, he basically got dominated. And that was a fight that I'm a fan of both guys. You know, I'm an Adesanya fan. And actually, Lee could – I'm almost positive Lee could tell you this because I said it on the show, if you go back, and on Twitter. I was championing Adesanya when he was in, I don't know if it was the Contender Series or Ultimate Fighter. I think it was maybe the Contender Series. I was championing him back then before he was even in the UFC. I was championing Adesanya. So don't try to, you know, nobody can tell me that I'm biased to Whittaker or something like this because I've been
We had Adesanya as our fight of the year one year, I think.
Yeah.
When we did our
yeah.
end of the year show, both of us had Adesanya as the fight of the year.
Exactly. So just to point out, you know, how that's relevant, it's just, you know, for the point of you can't say that, you know, I'm biased or that either one of us are biased and saying, oh, you feel like, you know, Whittaker, you know, didn't lose every round or you're just giving him rounds because you're a fan. It's like, nah, I'm actually a fan of both guys. I'm also a fan of Vettori, but I was able to admit that I felt he got dominated in that fight. And that's another reason why I rewatched that fight the other day. I rewatched that fight and I rewatched Adesanya Whittaker, and I'll probably watch Adesanya Whittaker a couple more times, you know, because I just want to make sure that what I'm seeing and what I'm thinking about it is what I think it is. And look, both times I watched it, I had the same take on it. I had, I felt Adesanya won, you know, the most dominant round of the fight was taken by Adesanya. That was in the first round. I thought that was the most clear rounds of the whole fight. I don't even see – I won't even, you know, debate with people, but I can't – Whittaker did not get that round to me. Round one is the clearest, most dominant round. Adesanya got it. Round two, that one I had debatable in both watches. I really – like, and what I mean is I just couldn't really decide on – that one's going to take me – I don't know. But I feel like if you give that to Adesanya, I'm not mad at it because – he did have good moments in that round. I feel like they both had, like, landed good shots, and they both looked good in round two, so that's why it's kind of up in the air for me. If you were leaning Adesanya, and I'm kind of leaning Adesanya for round two, that's cool. You know, that's I'm not mad. Whoever you had in round two. But round three, I felt like that was the turning point of the fight. And I thought this live, and when I rewatched it, I felt like, wow, Whitaker's starting to look different in this round. Like, in two, he was starting to come on. He was starting to look more like himself. There was flashes of his style in there. But then round three, I felt like he was really there at that point. It's like, all right, this is the Whittaker I'm used to. You know, this is pretty much the Whittaker I'm used to seeing, confident. You know, he's landing good shots. His game plan seems to be working at this point. So I gave and Adesanya still looked good in that round, but I edged round three in a very close round to Whittaker, right? And then rounds four and five, I'm going to put it to you like this. Adesanya just didn't look like the champion to me in those two rounds. You know, without me getting into, you know, this many strikes or this many stuff takedowns or, you know, they were in the clinch and they did this. Like, without me doing any of that or the feints, without me doing any stats, I just didn't feel like Adesanya looked like the middleweight champion to me in rounds four and five. I thought Whittaker looked like the champion out of those two guys. That's what I thought. Without doing any numbers and not debating anything. We can do that too. We could go over those rounds, but I'm just saying, to put it simply, I really just felt like he didn't look like the champion in those two rounds. I felt like, I don't know if he was tired or if he was mentally exhausted or he just couldn't pick. Whittaker was changing what he was doing. I don't know what it was. He just didn't look like the champion to me, and I gave Rob both of those rounds, four and five, clearly. So I have it Whittaker 3-2, rounds 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, I think one thing you got to realize about when you're dealing with fans are never objective. They have no objectivity. So they always going to lead towards their fandom. I thought rounds one and two was that – I ain't going to say definitely out of Sonya, but I thought looking at the fight, I was like, okay, I wouldn't be mad if they gave him rounds one and two. Especially round one, I think that was a given. Round three, I thought both fighters had moments, but I thought Rob kind of sort of figured out, okay, I can do this, this, and this. This is where I need to be at. And I thought maybe he figured that out a little too late. But to me, I was a little taken aback by the decision because I definitely thought he won round four and five for sure. For one judge to say he only won one round, one round, and it wasn't even round five. Just looking at those scorecards, the judges saying like they was all over the place. But I wish Whittaker would have fought the way he fought the second half of the fight, the entire fight. And then it would have been no discussion, no dispute, no nothing. Because, Keys, I don't know or not, when you was watching the fight, how you noticed something about Adesanya? He doesn't throw as many punches anymore. It's like he's scared of his striking. Like, he's scared to be countered. So his fights are actually kind of boring now because if the other person isn't initiating the action, he doesn't initiate any action either. So it wasn't a boring fight, but it was tender and it was kind of leaning towards the Yoel Romero fight a little bit, whereas he really wasn't doing much, and he was just looking to just counter. I don't like that fighting style, especially when you're the champion, because to me it seems like you are running scared and you are hiding under on the champion, so you got to beat me. Whitaker, he's still a top guy. I know after the fight that I want to say Chael Sonnen said he would like to see Whitaker move up to 205. I don't like that. I would probably stay down where he at and give it one more shot, man. Give it one more shot. I think he's figured out what he could do to be successful against Adesanya. And he wasn't as emotional in this fight as he was in the first fight. So that being said, I know Cannoneer is getting the next shot. Had Whitaker fight Bronson, I guess, or whoever's in the top five, maybe have him fight two more fights and see what now he can get back to the championship picture. I think he's earned that. He's definitely a pro's pro. He did everything to get the rematch back. I think he went for three fights to get the rematch back. So, the fight, if you made me bet money on the third fight, I say Whitaker. I thought Whitaker would dominate this fight, but I think if there was a fight, a third fight, I'd go out on a limb and say he totally dominates the third fight.
Yeah, I mean, I heard what you said. I never want to butt in. You know, we try to let each other rock. But, to answer one of the things you said is that one of the judges did have Whitaker only winning one round, and that was the one judge that had it 49-46, and I was like, man, 49-46.
What?
When they read scorecard, I was like, whoa. I was like, nah, that can't be right.
Yeah, so that's why I was kind of like, okay, you know, people say I must, you know, some dude on Twitter said that, asked me if I was watching the fight on radio when I said Whitaker 3-2. But then you guys are saying okay to the judge having a 49-46. He's cage side for the fight, and he had a 49. Whitaker went in one round. It's like, bro, did he watch the fight? Like, when I seen your boy Rory post 5-0. Adesanya, yeah, I got to call him. Rory, I got to get you, bro. I got to get you. Adesanya, 5-0 masterclass. I was like, yo, what? All the 4-1 and 5-0 thing, like, I don't know where y'all are coming from with that. I can't spend time on that because that doesn't even make any sense. Like, if you're going to go 3-2 Adesanya, like, that's cool. When you get to the 4-1s and the 5-0s, like, I don't really know what to say to that because that just doesn't even make any sense to me. So, because that was a very close fight. And, like, you know, I was even disappointed in Bisping. Bisping didn't even sound like he was in his right mind when he was commentating the fight. I was like, man, what is this guy talking about? And then after, you know, Bisping made it sound like that it was, like, a total domination from Adesanya. I was like, okay, that fight was not a domination. That was a very intense fight. That was a very – Adesanya was really thinking in that fight, 100%. Like, I know he won't come out and say otherwise. You're not going to see Adesanya come out. I mean, he does have a big ego, and that's fine, but I don't think he's going to come out and say, you know, that was an easy fight or, you know, I knew I had it the whole time. I don't think he would say that because Whitaker had him thinking in there. I mean, you just look at the way that fight was. That was a very contentious fight. And Bisping, you know, the way he was making it sound, cage side, he was making it sound like that was just a one-sided affair and I forget how he had the rounds, but I was like, man, Bisping, I usually like, you know, his commentary and his what he has to say, but that he was just, I don't know, man. Him and, you know, these other people, the 4-1s and 5-0s, I just can't, I can't get down with that, because that fight was way too close for you to say that. And then they're debating over the takedowns. This is my thing with the takedowns, right? Because everyone on Twitter wants to, like, post up, like, explanations of what equals a takedown and wrestling and all this. And it's like, okay, first of all, right, I was talking to this dude, and I posted up the stats. I said, look, Whitaker attempted 10 takedowns. He landed 4. Israel Adesanya stuffed 6 of those 10. You know, Whitaker had 4 takedowns officially. The dude responded to me. He goes, where did you get those stats? He said, like, I made it up or something like that. He's like, where did you get those stats? And I was like, bro, I got them from UFCstats.com. That's UFCstats.com, bro. What, you guys think I'm just, like, recalling the fight and telling you how many takedowns? That's, like, official stats. What are you talking? So people are funny, man. They, you know, the way that you got people trying to twist the narrative and make you, you know, gaslight people and be like, what fight did you watch? It's like, bro, the official stats have Whitaker landing 4 takedowns. So, you know, there was people on Twitter saying that he didn't land any takedowns. Even Adesanya in the post-fight interview, I don't know why he said this, but he said, like, Whitaker was trying to take me down and he couldn't take me down. He said that in the post-fight interview, and I was like, bro, he took you down 4 times. What are you talking about? Like, I don't know what they're going on with that, like, takedown narrative, because that's just – look, my thing is, everyone loves to boast about, like, a guy's takedown defense. Like, why are you – this is my question. If the takedowns Whitaker landed weren't takedowns, if you're not counting them or if they didn't mean anything, tell me this. Why do you count the takedown defense stat? Everyone loves to boast about Adesanya's, you know, 100% takedown defense. Why are you always putting that stat out when you're talking about him and – you know, he's great. I believe he's great too, by the way. But when you're talking about him, we love to say, you know, how great a guy's takedown defense is until he gets taken down. And then once he gets taken down, all of a sudden the debate changes. It goes from, oh, he's not going to be able to take him down. But then once someone does take him down, now all of a sudden the debate changes to, oh, but he couldn't hold him down. Or, oh, what did he do with it? Or, oh, how much control time did he have? Or, oh, he didn't have control time. It's like, y'all going to make up your mind with that. Like, it sounded really flimsy. A lot of these arguments sound really flimsy, because when you look at the official stats, Whitaker had like 3 or 4 minutes of control time in that fight. So, I don't know, man. These fans are looking awfully loyal. That's the best word I'm going to put it. Y'all are looking very loyal.
Yeah, man. Because remember when everybody was saying the same thing about D.C.? DC takedown defense was this, and this. He had never been taken down. And then John Jones took him down, what, 3 times in the first time they fought. So, takedown defense is kind of overrated, because, you know, most of these guys, if you're not fighting guys that wrestle, guess what they're not going to do? They're not going to try to take you down. So, you know, sometimes it could be based on matchups. But, man, hey, Robert Whitaker fought a good fight. I wish he would have implemented his game plan a little earlier. But I got to ask you this, bro. Tell me one thing Adesanya did in that fight that impressed you. One thing. To me, he did nothing in that fight that impressed me. Nothing.
Well, that's why I drew a blank, because the only thing that comes to mind when you say oh my, okay, hold on, let me get it together. So look, I drew a blank when you said that, because I really, like, not only was I not expecting the question, but I really didn't have an answer to it, like. He really didn't do anything that was impressive. Nothing came up. I mean, the only thing that came to mind and that even popped up, but I wouldn't really say it impressed me. was the leg kicks. Like, he landed a lot of leg kicks, and, like, he was, you know, he was landing leg kicks all night, and you could see that he had, I think it was Whitaker's right leg was, like, really beat up, and maybe that even affected Whitaker's striking, you know. That is known to immobilize guys, you know. Maybe he was trying to do that, but that's the only thing that comes to mind. But I really wouldn't even say that it really impressed me. I think he executed it well, but I wouldn't say it impressed me. That's the only thing that he really did in the fight. And that's why, and that's why, to go further on that, the only highlight they even had for Adesanya was him doing leg kicks. How come there was no highlights of anything else? So if you look at the highlights, you'll see all leg kicks. The only thing that they have that I can remember that wasn't a leg kick was they had a highlight of a head kick that he landed on Rob. And Rob actually put his hand up, which I'm pretty sure counts as he defended.
A block.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I don't even know if that counts as a significant strike. I don't even know if that was really a landed head kick, because Rob actually slipped it and put his hand up. I remember seeing it live, and I remember when they showed it in the highlight, I was like, bro, they put up a highlight of a head kick that technically didn't even land all the way. And then besides that, you pretty much have all leg kicks in the highlights. So, yeah, go ahead, though. My bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I agree with you. I really wasn't impressed. He really did nothing in that fight to impress me. And I was actually... Man, I really don't want to, like, disrespect Izzy like this. But it seems to me like he's becoming Tyron Woodley when Woodley was the champ. It's like, don't lose your hunger when you get the belt. You should be as hungry to keep the belt. And it seems like, to me, he's just out there basically, this guy has to beat me for me to lose the fight. And I don't like champions that fight like that. Go out there, put it on the line, you know, put on entertaining fights. But I really wasn't impressed with his fight Saturday, and that's why I asked you that question, because nothing that he did impressed me. I'm looking at the stats of the fight. Neither one of them really threw, like, total strikes. Bobby Whitaker, 74 out of 151. Israel Adesanya was 98 out of 188. Leg kicks, Israel Adesanya, 29 out of 38. Robert Whitaker was 13 out of 20. So the stats are basically kind of even, really, except for the takedown and the control time. So, yeah, man, it's like he really did nothing impressive to me. Nothing he did was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, were you reading that on UFC.com, by the way?
I'm looking at ESPN.
All right, because sometimes, like, I'm not saying that, I don't know whether they did this, but I know sometimes I've seen it done before where it was like different sites have different stats for the fight, and like it's kind of weird. Like, shouldn't there be one official stat sheet? Like, why does everybody have different stats? I mean, I guess it could be like if you have different judges, like if like MMA Junkie like has their own judges for the fight, and like they're watching it and they're like, you know, on a live stream and they're judging it by themselves. Because if me and you watched it, you know, and we wanted to say, let's judge this fight, we might have different significant strike totals too, because we might not count what, you know, another judge might call a significant strike. So if that's the case, then, yes, I could see why some outlets have different numbers sometimes. But it would be
well,
nice.
I think UFC.com and ESPN, I think they try to make sure their numbers sync up, being their quote unquote partners.
Yeah. So just to see if it's the same. I'm on UFC.com. Ready? They said Adesanya landed 98 total strikes. Rob Whitaker landed 74 total strikes. Adesanya had Out of those, he had 79 significant strikes, and out of those 74, Rob had 59 significant strikes. And then
36-38.
Rob, and then Rob had 4 takedowns. He had 4 of 10, like I was saying. He had 1 knockdown. So
ESPN and UFC are basically, they synced up.
Yeah, they probably send each other the numbers and then both post it. I mean, one thing that I'm really confused about with the narrative of this fight, no one's talking about this, right? Everyone wants to talk about all the leg kicks that Adesanya landed, which was really the only thing he even did in the fight. But besides that, you don't see anyone talking about how Rob was landing the double jab all night. How come Rob did so much better in the head strikes, but no one's talking, no one's giving him props for that. He outlanded Adesanya 38-36 in the head strikes, and his overall effectiveness, like his percentage, was 64% of his head strikes, or either 64% were significant. I don't know what they mean by that. Either 64 were significant or 64% he landed, but I think 64 were significant. And then it says Adesanya 46%. Yeah, I'm not really sure how they break this down right now. Unless it's 46% of their attack was head strikes. Maybe that's what they're saying. Yeah, I think that might be it. They might be saying that. What do you think it is?
Because 64% and 46%. Normally, I know, like, when they do for boxers, when they do that for boxing, basically it's like your connect rate. How many times that you threw a punch or a kick and it landed. That's how I know that. That's how I know how they do it for boxing. And I'm thinking it should be the same for the UFC. So basically, Robert Whittaker, out of all the punches he lands, 64% of them touch Adesanya in some kind of way. Whereas Adesanya's 46% of his touch Whittaker in some form of fashion. So that's anything outside of jabs, though.
Yeah, because the jabs aren't counted as significant strikes in the UFC either. It's not in boxing either, right?
No.
The jab is not a significant strike, right?
Nope.
I mostly know that from the UFC video games. That and I throw a lot of overhands in the video game, and I always seem to have more significant strikes than the people I fight. I don't really throw too many jabs, but I mean these numbers do count up to like Rob's percentage. 64% to the head, 14% to the body, 22% to the legs. That does add up to 100%. And then Adesanya is 46% to the head, 18% to the body, and 37% to the leg. That adds up to 101%. So it could be what you're saying. I think it also could be, for some reason, the way they're breaking it down here is the percentage of their total offense, what percentage was to that area of the body. That could also be what they're showing here. But either way, either way that they're doing it, it doesn't really matter because I'm still confused why there's no talk about how Rob was landing so many head strikes. No one's talking about that. They're all saying Rob did nothing, but 64% of his attack he was landing to the head and outlanded Adesanya 38-36 in that department. No one's talking about that, but Adesanya landed a few more strikes to the body and landed a lot more to the leg. So I don't know. I'm confused about that. I don't know, man. I think y'all might be doing my boy Rob a little dirty with this fight, man. I think there's a little bit of shade being thrown in this fight, man, because this is crazy. I mean, Rob also had Izzy in the clinch 5 times. Like, I didn't even really think about that much until I just saw it. Like, I remember that they were in the clinch, a number of times. I just didn't know that he engaged in the clinch 5 times. And it's like, no one's talking about that. I don't know, man. This is weird to me. It just seems like they're giving Whitaker basically no credit for his performance. I think he had a performance. He had a damn good, like, yeah, he could have done better. I definitely think he could have a better performance in another fight, in a future fight with Adesanya. But I don't think he had a bad performance. I think he had a solid performance. You know, I think he looked like the champion in there. You know, rounds 4 and 5, he looked like the champion to me. So, and it's like when you're fighting a guy like that, you know, people want him to come out and, you know, be super offensive and be swinging wildly. And it's like, that's what gets you knocked out versus Adesanya. You don't, like, we saw the first fight, like, you know, he was trying to fight like that and you get knocked out. You can't leave yourself exposed versus, you know, probably one of the best kickboxers in fight history. Like, you can't fight like that. So I don't understand how people, like, want to say it's like, oh, he didn't have enough output. I mean, I think the one thing that he probably could have done differently for Rob is, I think, you know, he could have, you know, of course with the takedowns, if he was able to hold Izzy down for longer with each takedown, they might have given him the nod with that, where he didn't hold him down for very long each time, plays a factor. But where Rob, you know, had his leg kicks, I think if he was checking Izzy's leg kicks and then throwing his own kicks back,
yeah,
and tried to almost match him with the output of his leg kicks. Like, if he could have tied up the leg kicks or even get close to tying up, like, even if he was within 10, like, if Izzy landed, like, 30 leg kicks and Rob landed, like, 20 and he was checking, like, you know what I mean? Because that would have offset the number, too. Like, if I'm pretty sure if you check a leg kick, I don't know the answer to that. If you check a leg kick, does it still get scored as a leg kick for the fighter who threw it? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that's probably one thing Rob could have done differently than what he did was that he fought the fight in a good way. And I agree with what you said. I wish he would have, you know, the way he looked in 3, 4, and 5, I wish he, you know, didn't get that late start and was already there. You know, I wish he would have fought like that the whole fight. Cause I think if he fought like that all 5 rounds, I think he would have got a unanimous decision. You know, I think that would have been, you know, that would have been a new champion, you know, solidified. But you know, obviously he didn't, but I just think that if you could go in there and change something, I think what more could he really have done? I think throw leg kicks, you know, try to match Izzy with the leg kicks, because it seems like that's what everybody's harping on. Like, what else did Izzy do in his performance that was crazy? You don't see him, like, you know, throwing these body kicks and doing all this spinning shit like he used to do. Like, you don't see Adesanya doing that kind of stuff at this point. It's like you said, like, he has started to throw a lot less volume.
Yep. I'm telling you, man, because it's like normally the champion going into the championship rounds, you normally see them have an uptick in their activity. You know, you normally see them, like, go to another gear. But we didn't see that with him. I haven't seen it with him. I didn't see it against Vettori. I mean, he dominated Vettori, but that fight wasn't action-packed. It was really boring. Jan dominated him. So, you know, we just got to see what he looked like against Cannoneer. Because I don't think he's going to be able to just coast against Cannoneer. Because Cannoneer has electricity in his hands and his elbows. So I think that's going to make for an interesting matchup. I think Izzy is definitely going to have to make that a kickboxing match. Because I don't see him wanting to exchange with Cannoneer, man. I just don't see him standing there trying to, you know, let Cannoneer get off and then he counter him, because I don't think he can take that. I don't think he can take those shots. I don't think he can take that many shots.
You like Cannoneer in that fight?
I don't know, man.
Maybe too soon to tell for that one. I'm about to let that one marinate for a little while. I haven't even thought about that fight because I'm still busy, you know, going through this fight we just watched in my mind. I haven't even gotten to that fight yet.
Yeah, it's kind of too early, but I don't think if Cannoneer can connect, I think he could sleep Izzy, man. I think he could sleep him, bro. Because remember, Cannoneer used to fight a heavyweight.
Oh, yeah. Cannoneer, he has a ton of power, man. That dude's strong. Yeah, he has a ton of power. That dude, that'll be an interesting fight for sure. When the time comes, I'll be interested in that one. Yeah, he could definitely put Izzy's lights out. He could put pretty much probably anybody's lights out in the division. Cannonair could probably even put Costa's lights out. You know, people might call that a hot take, but I don't really think that's a hot take. I think Cannonair could knock out Costa.
Plus I think Costa is overrated, man. I think Paulo, he's a one-trick pony, and if he can't get that one trick off, he's done. He's just not that good of a fighter to me.
And, you know, we called it, too, with him. We really did. We called it, you know, early on with Paulo Costa. We were like, man, we're really not impressed with this guy. Like, everyone's, you know, saying, you know, they want him to fight for the title, and it's like the UFC is trying to push him up and get him big fights, and it's like we were the ones saying, really, who has he fought? Like, he fought Uriah Hall, he fought Johnny Hendricks, like, way past his time. You know, he's fighting these guys that it's like nobody's. Like, he really – he hadn't fought anybody, and then it was like everybody was – hyping him like he was like championship level, and he's really not. Like, he's a good fighter, but he's not a diverse fighter. I don't know, you know, he's not super tactical. Like, he doesn't really have the juice that people try to prop him up to have. Like, he's just not on the level that he's made to seem, you know.
But yeah,
one thing that I just want to say real quick, because you know, I've turned off most like push notifications on my phone, but there is one that I did not turn off, and that was the ESPN push notifications, and they just let me know about 5 minutes ago that Beneil Dariush has fallen out of the fight with Islam Makhachev.
Yeah, he injured his ankle.
Damn, you knew about that?
Yeah, it was it came across my phone probably about 10 minutes before the show.
Damn. What do you think they'll do now?
I think they probably going to wait, because they want to see Islam against a top 5 guy. And I don't think a top 5 guy is just going to take a fight against him at short notice. So I think they're just going to reschedule it.
Yeah, I think that's probably because a lot of these guys, I don't even know if anyone will accept a short notice fight with Islam Makhachev. That's probably not going to happen. So that was just a quick little update right there for anybody listening. That fight is almost certainly off the table, but or at least Dariush is out for now, but I don't doubt that fight will be postponed, like you were saying. And, you know, another thing that I want to talk about is how about our boy Bobby Green, man? How about Bobby Green? Oh, my goodness. Bobby Green was in the zone. He was in a zone in that fight, man. We were so in during that fight. We were like, oh my goodness, this is it, man. The two, you know, those dudes, they were talking trash in between the rounds. It was like after every round, they were like in each other's face. The fight was heated, bro. And you could see it was like, you know, you always said it like since years ago. You're like, man, I like Bobby Green. He's always talking smack, you know, in between the rounds. During the fight, he's throwing shots. He's talking trash to his opponent. like we were really seeing that in that fight, and you could tell that he was focused, man. He looked very good. He looked very good. What do you think about his performance?
I thought he should have earned a performance bonus for his performance Saturday. They gave a performance bonus to Tua Tagovailoa and Jared Cannonier, and they gave the fight of the night to somebody else. But I thought Bobby Green put on a masterpiece on Saturday night. From beginning to end, he looked like a machine. He really just took Harpares basically totally out of the fight with just his volume, his constant pressure, his slick head movement, and Harpares was just lost in there, man. And one thing that I like about Bobby Green is that he's not waiting no more. He's not pulling the Israel out of Sonya, whereas he's reacting to what his opponent is doing. Now he's making his opponents react to him, which basically allows him to be the aggressor and set the tone for the fight. And if you could see from the time he came out there, Harpares, it was like, bro, you better come here to fight tonight or you going to get lumped up. Because Bobby Green came out from the first round to the third round, and all three rounds he looked the same. And, man, I was like, look at this guy, man. He like a machine in there. I think it's finally starting to click with Bobby Green, Keith.
Yeah, you know, I think that, before he fought his last fight, before he fought Iaquinta, what was that, at Madison Square Garden? I think that was at Madison Square Garden when they fought. Yeah, that or it was in December. It was recently, though. Bobby Green had a quick turnaround fighting on this card. Like, I didn't even realize that he literally fought, it was like 2 or 3 months ago. He just fought Iaquinta, and now he was already on this card. It didn't dawn on me until I was actually watching. I was like, wait a second. He just fought Iaquinta. That was the other day. But And he looked great in both fights. I mean, obviously, the Iaquinta fight was pretty short, so we didn't get to see that much of him. But obviously, he had a first-round knockout. I mean, you've been saying this about him for a minute, that, you know, he's a really good fighter, but it seems that when he lets fights go to the scorecards, it doesn't seem to go his way. You know, it's kind of like Angela Hill. You know, I'm not saying they're the exact same fighter, but it's a similar case with Angela Hill. It's like, you know, if she can finish the fight, pretty much what she has to do, because it's like every time, you know, she goes to a scorecard, she's like just really good at like having these close fights and then not getting the judge's nod. You know, Bobby Green has a similar, you know, situation, or he has had a similar situation about him with that. And it seemed like, you know, in the Iaquinta fight, he had a sense of urgency. He was going, you know, he was throwing kill shots. And then in this fight, he had a sense of urgency again, you know, and he said that Nasrat was able to get under his skin. You know, he said his coach was telling him, chill out, you know, he's trying to get to you. And then Bobby Green was like, nah, like, you know, he wanted to go in there and scrap. Nasrat got in his head, but I don't think it was in a bad way. You know, I think it was the type that he wasn't like emotionally fighting, but it kind of charged him up. You know, he was tapped in there, and I think he knew that, or he knows now that it's like, all right, I have to be much better than my opponent. I can't just be, you know, letting these fights be up in the air, because I don't seem to win those fights. You know, they don't seem to give me those nods. So I got to dominate, whether it's knocking this dude out or, you know, getting the finish, or I'm winning clear rounds. And he showed that.
Yeah, man. I like Bobby Green, a fighter, but I really, really adore Bobby Green, the person. I love his positivity. I watched his UFC Origins, you know, this week, and there was a good little piece they did on him. You know, as far as like you know, him being an orphan, and then, well, basically his parents, they just couldn't take care of him. So his brother went down one path, he went down the other path. His brother went down the path of game banging, and he went down the path of becoming a high school wrestler. And look what wrestling has brought him, man. Actually, I DM him on Instagram asking him could we get an interview, you know, if he had time, could he come on our show, or could we sit down and interview him on Zoom? So, you know, I did reach out to him. Hopefully we'll get something back from him. But, you know, man, I'm really not a fan of too many fighters, but I'm really a Bobby Green fan, bro. I'm really a fan of Bobby Green's. I know I always say you the president of certain fan clubs. Well, you can say I'm the president of the Bobby Green fan club.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what fan clubs I have active right now. My fan clubs, I don't know. I'm not really sure, bro. I don't have any active fan clubs right now, but you know, there was a time years ago when I had a few of them, but I don't know about now. A lot of the guys I used to have fan clubs for, they've become fighters that are just too difficult to be a fan of. So, but that's a good fan club to have. Bobby Green is looking very, very solid. Let me ask you this. Who do you think they give him next to fight? You think he's going to fight a top 15 lightweight, or what do you think they're going to do?
Yeah. I think they give him a top 15. He got robbed against Fazeez, so I don't think they're going to run that one back. So Diego Ferreira is number 15. Brad Riddle is number 14. Armand Tsarukyan is number 13. And Gamrot is number 12. So I'm going to say he either gets Diego Ferreira or Brad Riddle next.
Yeah, I definitely Diego Ferreira is like a BJJ guy, I want to say. So that would be a big a styles make fight type of scenario. Big challenge. That one, Brad Riddle, another big challenge. Me personally, I'd prefer the Brad Riddle fight because I think that would be more of a fun fight. You would put Bobby Green and Brad Riddle, that's bound to be a banger. Like, if you're going to do that fight, you got to put that on the main card too. You at least got to give him the spot he just had, if not a spot up from that. If not the featured fight. Like, you got to respect that one. You got to respect him, period. Cause he just had two performances, you know, hell of a performance his last two fights, and beating good guys, you know, good lightweights he fought. And it's like, okay, you at least got to give him that main card spot, the first fight again. Him and Brad Riddle opening the card, bang. Or put him one fight up from that. He at least needs to be in one of those spots. I like him and Riddle next. I like that one.
Yeah, I think he's shown that he's not afraid of the bright lights of being on the main card. Is him and Brad Riddle, could they be the main event of a fight night? Five rounds? You know, I wouldn't mind that.
I would definitely take that for main event of a fight night. I think that'd be fire. I mean, if you would have, because the thing is, unless you had Johnny Walker and Jamal Hill, you know, this is another two guys that I'm a fan of. You know, this is another fight I'm a fan of both guys. Jamal Hill is a guy that I've also been putting spotlight on him, you know, fights ago. I was putting spotlight on him when I first saw him fight. I was I'm pretty sure I came on the show, like, the next show we had after that. I was like, yo, this dude Hill is going to be good, man. I think it might have been OSP, I want to say. Yeah, I think it might have been OSP or somebody like that. He fought, and I remember coming on saying that, yo, this guy's going to be good. But, so that's a fight that is coming up this coming weekend. But if you ask me, I don't think that fight has more potential than a Brad Riddle and Bobby Green fight. I don't think so at all.
Yeah, all the reason I say that is because I think people are finally – I think Bobby Green has kind of toned down his act a little bit. Like, when you sent me that link to his press conference, you see he was like, hey, you know, I stopped talking as much because I think it was getting to the judges. I don't think the judges liked it. Because me and you kept saying, man, why is he getting the short end of the judges' scorecards on some of these fights? And, you know, he said that he felt like him talking trash in the octagon that the judges didn't like. So ever since he's kind of toned that down, you know, he's been getting, you know, the judges ain't been as against him.
Yeah, it's, you know, you think maybe he's kind of toned down his trash talk leading up to the fight so he could focus more on his training?
Well, I think he wants people to – I think he wants to be known more for his skills than his antics. You know, you always want your skills to be why people want to see you fight, not your antics. When your antics are what people want to see, then basically you're a gimmick. And in the UFC, you don't want to be a gimmick. Gimmicks are for pro wrestling, not UFC fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to say this. We'll go into this to close the show. I'll put it to you like this. Okay, so someone said this on Twitter, and I think I at least partially agree with it. You know, I think I'm leaning towards agreeing with it. I like the take. They said the Adesanya versus Whitaker rivalry is, you know, it's starting to look like the volcano and Holloway rivalry, where it's one guy is down, you know, two fights to nothing. One guy's down 0-2. But a third fight is still warranted, or a third fight may still be warranted. So obviously we know Holloway's already there to fight Volcano for the third time. We don't know that Whitaker will fight Adesanya for the third time, but I'll tell you this. And Whitaker said this at the I think it was in his post-fight interview, or if it was at the post-fight conference. They asked him, like, do you think you'll ever fight Adesanya a third time? And I want to say he was like, very firm. He was like, I definitely think I'll fight him again because I'm just going to keep on. Man, he said something that I didn't expect him to say, bro. He said, I liked it. I was like, talk that shit. But it was just kind of, I think he was still revved up from the fight. You know, he was probably a little bit irritated that he didn't get the decision. And what did he say? He goes, I'm going to keep on stomping everybody that they put in front of me. I was like, damn, man. I was like, damn, that's Whitaker. That's a little bit different than usually than his style of talk, you know, about his fights. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna keep on stomping everybody that they put in front of me. So I definitely think that I'll see him again. And I'm like, wow, man, Whitaker. All right, bro. And I can't say I disagree because and how do they not fight a third time? Because obviously not right away, but down the line because. Who in middleweight can beat Rob Whitaker? That's a good question, I think, because I really think who could they possibly match him up with? Maybe Paulo Costa. I know they already tried to make that fight. They might still try to make that fight. There's a couple other guys. he could. Did he fight Hermanson? Nah, he didn't fight Hermanson. I could see them trying to do the Hermanson fight. There's even the Sean Strickland fight. I could see them trying to do Whitaker and Sean Strickland. So that's three fights right there. And I feel like there's probably a couple other names that I'm missing right now. Three middleweights right there that I could see the UFC motioning to try to make, you know, to match up versus Whitaker next. And I think he beats all three of those guys. I mean, Sean Strickland, I'm not – out of the three, I'm probably the least familiar with his style. I mean, I would have full confidence Whitaker probably dominates Paulo Costa. Full confidence he probably dominates Jack Hermanson. Even though I would enjoy the fight regardless, I think it'd be a good fight, but I think Whitaker would dominate him. And Sean Strickland, I just don't know his style enough to really know what the fight would be like. But I definitely think those are three fights that the UFC will probably make one of those three fights for Whitaker next. Who do you think they might give Whitaker next to fight?
I think Whitaker gives Vettori. Vettori is number three. Brussel is number four. I think Whitaker beats Vettori. Then he turns around and beats Paulo Costa. Unless they give him Derek Brunson. I would do it like this. I would go Whitaker versus Costa, Brunson versus Vettori, and then those two winners fight each other in a title elimination. Sean Strickland would just be on the outside looking in. That's how I would do it. I would have Whitaker against Costa, Vettori against Brunson, and then the two winners fight each other as a title eliminator.
My bad. I had to just put out that tweet. I just got some other news that I really don't like. I'm going to mention that in a second. But, you think Whitaker, he goes in there, fights Vettori, say he beats Vettori, will you say he takes one more fight after that?
Yeah, I think the UFC would do him like they did Holloway, make him at least fight two or three top five guys before giving him a third shot. So, like I said, I would have Whitaker versus Costa, Brunson versus Vettori, and then the two winners fight each other in a title eliminator. So, yeah, that's how I would do it.
The only thing that would change with that is that Brunson said his next fight is his last fight. I don't know if he changed his mind since he lost to Cannonier, but before that fight, he was saying that fight was won, and then the fight that would be his last one before he would retire. So I don't know if I don't know what would happen with Brunson, because if they would have tried to like set that up, I don't know if they'd want to give him like a title eliminator fight. I don't know what the stakes. I don't know what they would do with that with Brunson.
I think if he was to win, I think he would take one more fight to see whether or not he can get to the belt, because everything is about winning championships, dog. I mean, everybody talk about money and pay-per-view buys and social media following and all that and all that. But at the end of the day, you want them to, when they announce you, you want them to be like former UFC champion, you know, Derek Brunson, you know, former UFC champion Conor McGregor, former UFC champion Ronda Rousey. You know, that former UFC champion, that carries weight. You just being a fighter on the roster, they can say that about 3,000 people, you know. But they ain't going to say former champion about 3,000 people. So I think Brunson will probably, if he could beat Vettori, he will probably do the title eliminator, or he might lobby to get a title shot. So, you know, you never know how it might shake out.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with that. I mean, I know Whitaker's going to go spend some time with his family. He might even take some time off. I don't know. Hopefully we could see him. I mean, it's like mid-February. I don't know. Hopefully we could see him in like a couple months, maybe like May or June. I don't know. I don't know what the – I haven't seen anything about that. He's probably not even thinking about the next fight right now. I don't blame him, but – Hopefully we can see him like sometime, maybe during the summer, you know, at some point. That'd be cool.
Adesanya said he wants to fight in June. So put Whittaker on the June card. Co-main event.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. Yeah, do Adesanya. I mean, that would be, yo, hey, I ain't going to hold y'all, but if y'all want to do it on that June card and I can watch it for my birthday, you know, my birthday is on June 12th. Last year they did him and Vittori, and there was a lot of other good fights on that card too. It was on June 12th on my birthday. If y'all want to do it even a few days before or a few days after, Adesanya versus Cannonier, and then do Whitaker versus Vittori or Whitaker versus Acosta as the co-main, that would be a banger, man. That would be a banger. I would not be mad at that UFC, at Dana White, at everybody. Make it happen for your boy Keys. I gave y'all enough ideas.
Yeah, man. Hey, I wouldn't be mad about that. You know, basically, you'll have the number one, you'll have the champion welterweight and the number one contender welterweight on the same card. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. But either way, I mean, we went a few minutes over time. It's all good. You know, we're having a good chat back and forth. We got to everything I want to talk about. Robert Whittaker should be your UFC undisputed middleweight world champion. He won rounds 3, 4, and 5, just in case you forgot. Also, thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week and a great rest of your night. And that's it. I appreciate y'all. Enjoy. The floor is yours, Lee.
Yeah, man. Everybody have a good weekend. It's snowing outside right now. We're supposed to get like between 6-7 inches of snow tonight. So it is what it is. I'm eight weeks from moving back to North Carolina, so I'm looking forward to that. Man, Keys, I know we ain't really touched base on the Joe Rogan thing, but maybe next week we might have to talk about the Joe Rogan thing. But, you know, man, I like Joe Rogan. I just think he made a mistake. And I hate the way our society is today. We're always trying to counsel people. People make mistakes. And, you know, you have to let people learn from their mistakes. You just can't always X somebody out, you know. You got to let them learn from their mistakes, you know, and you keep on living, man. So, Joe Rogan, hey, man, keep your head up. I really don't have much to say outside of that, man. Everybody be good. I know our mask mandate was lifted last week. There's a lot of people out there at the bars. You know, the bars are getting their business back. So, hey, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Lee and Keys, as always, signing out. We always say peace.